Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, host of the program, but more importantly, a father of five, raising my children here in my house, sitting in my basement, broadcasting to all of Western civilization and throwing 80 other nations around the world who listen to our broadcast through the internet at kevinswanson.com. We're addressing as many issues as we can that we find in the news from a distinctively biblical point of view, trying to put things back together in an age where economics, politics, social systems are falling apart at the seams. But just a couple of dads who care about their own families and the future of this generation and this civilization, and we want to kind of keep a few things together for our kids, okay? Well, in the news today, this is pretty significant for anybody who's related to sports or anybody who's read the newspaper in, say, the last 15 years. Tiger Woods' career is really in the balance right now. As a golfer, as a pitchman, he's probably the most well-recognized athlete in America at this point, but now he's got a pretty significant problem on his hands. Evidently, the man has been committing adultery.
For a long time. And Tiger Woods has been the highest paid athlete, when you count endorsements, in the world.
Yeah,
ever.
He's a billionaire.
Ever.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. And he's highly respected. He's in just about every Wall Street Journal in some kind of a marketing piece. And he looks good. He's been well respected. He looks like a man of integrity. He presents himself that way on the golf course. And now, for the rest of his life, I think people are going to start thinking about him. Now, that's the golfer who cheated on his wife. John Edwards, David Letterman. Think about the other names that have come forward in the last couple of years. Ted Haggard. You know, and again, it will be impossible for this golfer, for Tiger Woods, to escape what he did. Nobody is going to forget what Wilt Chamberlain did with his life. Right? It still stands out in the back of our minds, doesn't it? Wilt Chamberlain, the greatest basketball player in the history of the game. 20,000 women. Anybody who remembers anything about Wilt Chamberlain is still going to remember that he was probably the greatest male prostitute that ever lived.
Certainly a fornicator. And it looks like, as it's shaping up, as, you know, it's gossip here, and I don't want to make accusations. We haven't heard firsthand, but there is a lot of women coming forward now. I mean, a lot of women saying that they had an affair with Tiger Woods. Apparently, this man was never truly faithful to his wife ever.
And guys, I want you to remember this, that what you do in your private life will be known, especially if you are a public person. It will be known in one way or another. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And these sins mark you. They mark you for life, for history. I mean, think about Ted Haggard, Dave. I mean, all the books that Ted Haggard, the pastor of New Life Church down here in Colorado Springs, wrote. All those sermons he gave over all those years. The church he built with his tens of thousands of people. The size of those buildings are extraordinary. My mouth gapes every time I drive by there, heading down to Colorado Springs. That's on my way down to Colorado Springs. But none of that is going to be important, because 100 million people are going to think about Ted Haggard. Oh, that's the evangelical pastor that did drugs and hung out with a male homosexual prostitute. That they can't forget it. They won't be able to forget it. It will stick in the minds of 100 million people. And Ted can stand up all day long and say, you got to forgive me, you got to forgive me, you got to forgive me. 100 million people will always remember Ted Haggard as that guy who hung out with the male prostitute.
Jimmy Swaggart. What do you think of,
what do you think of Jimmy Swaggart?
You see the fake tears,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. You think about all the music he recorded. You think of all the tapes he recorded. You think of all of his TV programs. You think 200 million people think of Jimmy Swaggart as that guy who was caught with that prostitute in Fresno, California. Excuse me, it was Bakersfield. Is that amazing? I still remember. Still remember the news story. Caught with a prostitute in Bakersfield, California. People don't forget it, folks. There's some things that stick in your mind. Some actions are more permanent than others. Way more permanent. They stick in the mind. And they stick and they stick and they stick in the mind. We're not going to forget about John Edwards and what he did and how he stuck it to his cancerous wife. committed adultery on her during his presidential campaign. We'll never forget it, will we? Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson.
Gary Hart.
Gary Hart. Again, turns out the Bible is true. What the Bible says about this stuff is true. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knows not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Isn't it amazing? The book of Proverbs is still true. Really true. And we'll be back to talk about avoiding sexual temptation in just a moment. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work, we're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson, and it is amazing to me, David, it is striking how correct the Bible is, how wise this literature is, and yet how little we teach our children of these things. This is one reason I'm putting together the Proverbs Family Bible Study Guide. It's coming out in about a month, folks, and I'm wrapping up chapter 15 right now. We need to teach our children the Proverbs. They need to know this book inside and out. If they don't, they will be fools. They will be fools. They will live like fools. They will live a foolish legacy, and they'll leave a foolish legacy.
And, of course, the book of Proverbs is the book written from a father to a son.
Yes.
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do for not forsake the teachings of your mother. This is a book of a father to a son. This is the inspired book from God of a father to a son.
Let me ask you this, Dave. Would you right now like to be Tiger Woods today?
How pitiable it would be to be the man who had $1 billion on earth and spends his eternity in torment.
Eternity, Dave? Eternity? You don't want to know what's going on with this golfer right now? You want to know what his wife is doing with him? His wife.
She's extorting him.
Yes.
She's extorting him. What she realizes that she's got a cash cow. Now, they have a prenuptial agreement. She's saying, you know what, Tiger? You want to keep your Nike endorsement? You want to keep your reputation as much as you can? We're going to redo this prenup agreement. In fact, you're going to give me $5 million today in my name, in my account. No touchy-touchy. And if I'm here in 2 or 3 years, we're going to make that $55 million. If I'm here in 8 years, it's going to be $80 million or something. The numbers may change. This is Chicago sometimes, so you can't really trust it all that much. This becomes probably a world record for prostitution.
Yeah, she's making a lot of money off of him.
This is not what the Bible means by covenant oneness.
Yeah.
This is not what Jesus said. God has made you one. No. This is God has made you two. Now go abuse and use and manipulate each other.
Yeah. What a miserable life. What a miserable life. He has embraced money and power and fame and sexual indiscretions and sins. And God is cursing him.
It reminds me of the old Lyle Lovett song. She's a lady, she's my wife. And in that song, there's a lyric that says, pronounces you 99 to life. This is what Tiger Woods has. He has 99 to life. He can't afford to live with her. He can't afford to live without her.
And should he not repent of his sins, he's got more than life. He's got an eternity in hell, and it's not going to get any better for him. Folks, these are the warnings from Proverbs chapter 7. Don't go her way. And let's talk about sexual temptation, Dave. A lot of men leave the home. And I'm guessing this is what Tiger did. He left the home. He left his kids at home. He left his wife at home. He went and played in Las Vegas. He went and played wherever. He went on business trips. He did his golfing. And he did whatever he wanted to do. He thought that once he was out of his home, he was free to screw up his life and do whatever he wanted to do. And I say that on purpose because that's what happens when men feel like they're free. Yeah, freedom. Freedom to what? Freedom to sin? Freedom to party? Freedom to commit adultery? Freedom to go with any woman you want to? Freedom? Wake up in the morning. You're going to find out what that freedom feels like. And, of course, that's what's happening with our buddy right now.
Well, it looks like Tiger was a fornicating man before he was married. And he carried on that lifestyle after he was married. Now, I have no doubt that many, many women were throwing themselves at Tiger and saying, come near my door. Hey, look, my husband's gone. Look, my bed, it's scented. Look at my lips. Aren't they beautiful? And whisper sweet nothings in his ear, the very things he wants to hear. Oh, she'll never find out. I'll never tell. And the man feels bulletproof. But what he forgets is that God sees all.
She has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. That woman kills him, and she brings him down. And some of the strongest men come crashing down. Dave, I think the most important thing we can do is maintain strong moral accountability in our lives. And I find this is important. And good men, men of integrity, desire those accountability systems. They don't want to be alone in hotel rooms. They want to be with their friends. They want to be with the ones who love them. They want to be with their family, first and foremost. There's an interesting proverb that says, a man away from his house is like a bird away from his nest. And I think about that often. I think that a man who is away from his house, oftentimes on business trips and things, tends to be a man who is not as connected and tied to the things he needs to be tied to as he ought to be. And he can very easily wander away from the paths of life. And I think that's one danger with traveling by yourself and traveling without your family. This is one reason why 6 or 7 years ago, actually more like 8 or 9 years ago, I began to take my son with me just about everywhere I went. Now I take my son, my daughters, my wife, a lot of times my assistants fly with me. I almost never, ever, ever travel alone, even to the post office. I'm with the people that love me and want to hold me spiritually accountable almost all the time.
And we see this with businessmen. Businessmen act in different ways when they're out of town than they are in town. They think they have this cloak of anonymity. Think about sailors when they go to a foreign port. They do things in that foreign port they would never dream of doing at home in the States. They believe that suddenly they have a libertine attitude towards life that the rules don't apply to them anymore. You got to remember that this temptation is so strong. It took the man after God's own heart, the man with my name, David. He was destroyed. I mean, if you look at David's career, it's the shape of a roof. It's going great. It's going great. He is conquering. He is doing well. He's honoring Saul. God's giving him victory. And then right at the peak of that roof where his life changes, there's an adulterous affair, of course, the murder of Uriah. And after that, his life is one tragedy after another to where his sons are trying to have him killed.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. And if a man like David can succumb to this temptation, why do you think you can't?
Yeah. And his son rapes his sister, too. You remember. So it's not just a problem with the father. It becomes a problem with the son. You get a generational disaster that develops. And, folks, on this radio program, we are trying to establish a generational vision, not a generational disaster where we as fathers fall morally, and then our sons fall, and then our sons' sons fall some more, and then you see breakdown in entire generations. And that's what happened with the legacy of David and Solomon and Rehoboam, as well. So, but we're hoping that we're establishing a generational vision in this program, and it begins with the morality, with the integrity, the sexual integrity, the moral integrity of fathers. And, Dave, I think this is a very, very important subject because when a man falls, when a pastor falls, when a father falls, I see that affect his sons and his grandsons and the people that are in his congregations. You cannot eliminate Ted Haggard from the breakdown of evangelicalism in the 21st century. Ted Haggard will be a major catalyst to the breakdown of what's happening throughout his entire National Association of Evangelical Churches. So the leaders make a difference. And yet, if we can get one leader who'll stand up and say, I will be a man of integrity. I'll be a man of accountability. I will be authentic. I will confess my sins to my brothers and sisters around me when it's appropriate. And I will live an integrity, a life of integrity and authenticity. When that happens, Dave, I mean, just the opposite occurs where we see blessing upon those whom we lead. We see blessing upon our children. We see blessing upon our families. So it's so important that a man stands up and is a man of integrity. And this is, of course, what we see with Joseph in the Old Testament. One of the very most righteous, most important men in all the Old Testament is a man of great integrity when it comes to sexual temptation. You remember that Potiphar's wife came to him a number of times, multiple times. She came to him, and finally she comes to him when the husband is gone. And that's typically what happens. When you think you can get away with it, that temptation will present itself to you in its full force. And that's what happened to Joseph. So she comes to him. She grabs him. She says, lie with me now. The husband is out of the home. We've got a great opportunity. And here's what happens. He refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He hath committed everything he has to my hand. There is nobody greater in this house than I. Neither have I. He kept anything back from me but you, his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Dave, you see, he does a couple of things here. Number one, he is aware of the repercussions of this act. And this is the first thing that we gotta look at. When we are tempted, we gotta say, okay, if I take this temptation, I gotta be honest here. This is what I'm signing up for. I am not going to ignore the repercussions of this act. If I cheat on my wife right now, I will put a bullet in the head of my family. I will kill my children. I will ruin my children's relationship with me for generations to come. I will set my children up for divorce. I will set my grandchildren up for divorce. I will be a man lacking in integrity. I will let down my entire church congregation. I will let down my entire corporation, all the employees in this corporation. I will ruin my corporation. I will ruin my sports career. I got to sign up for this. I got to be well aware of the repercussions of the act. And that's what he went over with Potiphar's wife. I think this is beautiful. He is very honest. And of course, what temptation does is it just covers over the repercussions. It doesn't want to talk about the repercussions. It doesn't want to sign up for the repercussions. We're not going to discuss that. You can deal with that, you know, months from now, but you're not going to deal with it right now. Well, that's the first thing Joseph did. When the temptation came, he said, okay, if I do this, I will sign up for these repercussions, and I'm not willing to do that. Now, the second thing he does here is he says, I'm not willing to sin against God. He feared God. He loved God. God was there in his life. God was ever present with him. You see that all the way through the story. God is with Joseph. God is with Joseph. Joseph had a relationship with God, and he would not let God down. He loved God. He feared God. He respected God such that he would not let God down and do that dastardly deed and commit adultery with his master's wife.
And of course, it doesn't appear anywhere in the story that Joseph was having thoughts about Potiphar's wife. She comes to him. His thought life appears, from what we can get from the context of the story, to be rather pure in this regard. And he saw her as a threat, not only to his relationship with God and his relationship to his employer, but a threat to his health and a threat to his life, as we all should, as we all should. Joseph ran away from the temptation. And, you know, if you can't overcome the temptation, running away is a really great strategy.
Yeah, he did. He left his coat in Potiphar's wife's hands. That's how dramatic it was. You know, he would do whatever he could to get away. And, Dave, I think that is the key here. Of course, Paul says the same thing. Flee fornication. Run away from fornication. Run away from pornography. Run away from those things that are going to bring you down, that will tempt you to commit adultery and fornication. And this, of course, is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing everything we said on this program. Knowledge is knowing what God wants concerning this issue of sexuality. Knowledge is going through all of those seminars and learning everything about good marriages and learning about the seventh commandment, and knowledge is everything, but wisdom is leaving your coat in the hands of Potiphar's wife. That's what wisdom is. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge. A lot of pastors who have a lot of knowledge. Evidently, they've preached a lot of messages on this stuff.
At the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that it's not enough just to flee. You can't want to stay there. If a man lusts in his heart, he's already committed adultery in his heart. God cares about the heart. Now, what does this mean to us? That means that you can tempt yourself. You can pollute your heart by reading the wrong kind of novels, by watching the wrong kind of TV programs. You may be tempted by the commercials during the baseball game you're watching. If that's the case, flee. Now, you may be mature enough and you see what is on TV and you go, oh, that is death at my door, and it doesn't tempt you whatsoever. Now, it doesn't make it right. But the need to flee is not as strong because your heart as well as your body need to be protected here.
And David's a rare person that is able to do what Joseph did. I'll tell you what, I personally think when you got a bunch of young boys, 15, 16, 17 years old, in some neighborhood somewhere, and you got six or seven of them sitting around a magazine or a screen looking at something, pointing fingers and having a good time looking at this image that is inappropriate, that little homeschooled Christian boy who's looking over their shoulders is going to be drawn in. I'd say 8 out of 10 times he's going to go for it. 8 out of 10 times he's going to go for it. It's a rare boy who's been through the Proverbs enough times to know that you do not come close to her door. That's what it says, I think, in Proverbs 7 or Proverbs 5. Do not, my son, do not come nigh. Do not come close to her door. If you recognize that that's a Proverbs 7 woman, okay, once you've defined it, she's tempting me. At this point, you haven't sinned yet. All right, you've seen some porn. You've noticed a magazine on a magazine rack at Safeway, and you say, okay, she's drawing me in. She's tempting me. She's a Proverbs 7 woman. You've defined it. That's important. Let's be authentic. Let's be true. Let's be honest about what's going on here. She's tempting me. She's a Proverbs 7 woman. Now the word says, do not come nigh her door. Do not come close. Do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Define it, saying that's a Proverbs 7 woman. This is what Joseph did. And then get away. Do not come close to what she's doing. Of course, curiosity killed the cat. And typically, you know, out of curiosity, because I'm just curious. I think curiosity is just an excuse for breaking that basic commandment, Dave. Once we've identified that she is a Proverbs 7 woman, what do you do with a Proverbs 7 woman? Do you analyze a Proverbs 7 woman? Do you say, okay, now I've got to analyze her technique here. Once you've defined a Proverbs 7 woman, it's very, very clear. Do not come nigh her door. Do not take one step closer. Go somewhere else. Just go somewhere else.
Well, it's true that a young man who hangs around fools will be corrupted by those fools. It is equally true that people are only curious about those things that they want to enjoy. Most people aren't curious about, say, how a chainsaw would feel hacking off their left arm. Hey, I wonder what that would feel like. I think I'll go out there and see what the chainsaw does. Now, what is the difference? The difference is, of course, the pain is immediate.
I've never experienced my hand in a blender before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, there's something.
I'm kind of curious about this. Yeah, you're right, Dave. You're right. Craziness. And once the Bible says this is a blender, this is a Proverbs 7 woman. And that's what Proverbs 7 does. This is a blender. Do not stick hand in blender.
Yeah, it's just the time of the bleeding and pain is a little delayed. There's a little pleasure up front, and then there's a little pain in the end. Part of the big scheme here is that Christians, especially in the Middle Ages when the priesthood became celibate, we gave sex to the world. And fornication flourished because we no longer occupied the right teachings. We weren't instructing the world about the right use of this gift called sex. And, you know, why is it that Paul says that no fornicator is going to be in the kingdom of God? And this is why I think, Kevin, because sex without covenant is an abomination. Yeah. Sex without covenant, because Christ is one with his bride, his church. He is one with his Father. This oneness matters a great, great deal to God.
And Dave, Proverbs also say you ought to delight yourself with the wife of your youth. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times.
My version says enrapture. Enrapture you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the positive command of this. And so I think, again, people need to obey the word of God. Go ahead and marry instead of burning all day long if you're a young person. Go out and get married. Get off the duff. Get married and get your wife of your youth and enjoy yourself to death in the presence of God with the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Just start walking in the ways of God. And guess what? Your hands will not be in the blender. You will not be bleeding in the morning. You will live a blessed life. God will bless you in all of these things. But you've got to understand that God is good and God has a set of principles he's given us in his word. If we embrace these principles, we will be blessed. If we reject them, we'll be cursed, cursed, and cursed some more. And Tiger Woods is an excellent, excellent example of this.
And Kevin, I think that for the Christian, our goal is to avoid that which is dirty. You know, we talk about sex being dirty. No, no, we want the clean, the beautiful, the thing that we can be very thankful to God for. Our wife, the unity, the celebration of the oneness of the wife of our youth. May we enjoy her. May we delight in her. This is what we as a people need to model for the world. Because if we don't, if we avoid these subjects, we're going to let the Tiger Woods and the Wilt Chamberlains of the world define it for us.
Well, you've heard it today on Generations, folks. Bring in a biblical worldview to bear in the way that we live our lives, our sexual lives. And the Bible is always true, man. Tiger Woods, one more demonstration of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Proverbs 7, check it out sometime. Teach it to your young men in your homes. Whatever you do, do not raise your children without a thorough knowledge of the book of Proverbs. And that's why we put together our family Bible study guides. You can get copies of our family Bible study guides at kevinswanson.com. I've got Genesis, I've got the book of Psalms, and the book of Proverbs coming soon. Pick them up right now. Get your children into the Word of God. If you do not teach your children the word of God, your children will build their houses upon the sand. It was the foolish man who built his house upon the sand and did not receive the words of Jesus and build his life upon them. And Jesus said, if that foolish man will not receive my words, if he builds his house upon the sand, one day the storms will come and great will be the fall of that house. And that is precisely what's happening to this country and to hundreds of millions of people in this country like Tiger Woods. So get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into your family by teaching them the Word of God as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. And that, my friends, is the vision we want to pass on to the next generation. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.